Proverbs 11. A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. I want to give you a thought. Priorities. Do you know what God's priorities are for your life? What's number one? God. Whatever you put as number one is your God. Because a simple definition, dictionary definition for God is what's number one in your life. What is it you're serving? What is most people's God? Self. Part of self being God is us making the choices of what we want to do. But I want, but I think, but I feel. What's the second priority with God? Do you have an idea? Family. Okay? Now let's break down family. We have a mate and we have children. In God's priority, which is first? The mate or the children? Okay, mate, children, mate, is it? Okay. Roxanne? Judy? What about it, Dave? What? What do you say? Everybody saying the same thing? I didn't hear everybody say the same thing. I heard a few of them say mate and a few of them say children. Right. So we already established that. Number one is God. In God's priority, the way we ought to have in priority in our life. God. Okay? Number two is family. Okay? In family, which should be first? Mate or children? Now there's some that said children. Let me help you understand. If it was children, then what happens when they move out? Now all of a sudden they're still your priority? If you were my child, if I was your child, the answer is no. Okay? The kids move back in, but I ain't moving it, you know. Okay, now, the reason I'm saying this, God gave us the mate. They are our mate. It's so simple. Mate. Look over in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, 22, somewhere in there. And it says, I will make him and help meet for him. I will make the man a helper that is fit or suited or completes him. They are your mate. God, we're gonna go there. I'm trying to help you understand something. I don't want to go there right now, but we will go there. Okay? God becomes your husband, Isaiah 54, verse 5. Okay? For thy maker is thine husband. Okay? Lover, provider, protector. That's... Okay? Okay. God is what's number one. Okay? When you get married, your mate becomes... See, God is still number one. But now, in the number two slot, okay, we got God. So priorities with God would be God for our lives. Number two is family. Under family, you got A and you got B. Is it mate or is it children? See, the children, we're supposed to raise them up. We're supposed to raise them up, teach them while they're at home. As they become teenagers, especially for people like me that are very strong-willed and demanding, or whatever the word is, commanding, I don't have any problem making decisions. Even if I make the wrong one, it's okay. I can bring another blood, fine, but I can make a decision. There's some people who have a real hard time making decisions. I am not one of those people, okay? The children are supposed to be being taught. The older they get, about the time they become teenagers, we need to, and even before that, we need to be teaching them and training them how to make decisions instead of just telling them what to do. Because how many kids have you seen that get to be, they become rebellious or whatever as they become teenagers, and they're like, I want to do this, and they're chafing at you because you're not letting them go through the natural process of teaching them how to make decisions. How do you do that? Number one, you have to realize they're going to make some bad decisions. Okay? Would you rather them make bad decisions on little things while they're still at your home and you can protect them? Or wait until they get out and see what most kids do? And then they make those decisions, those bad decisions, and you're not there, and there's bigger cost. You understand? Now they're in jail. Now somebody's pregnant. Okay? Do you understand? So while they're at home, we need to be teaching them how to make decisions. How do we do that? Ask them questions. What would you do? Give them some things where they can make decisions. I want to do this. Well, what do you think needs to happen in order for you to be able to do that? Well, I need to get my room clean and I need to be able to save some money. Okay, well then now let's work in that direction. See, you're teaching them life's tools of how to live. Are you with me? Well, so many people, what they do is they take and they make children their life. They don't spend the time understanding. They don't understand, and then they don't spend the time with their mate developing that relationship. And then when the kids move out, I mean, we hear about it all the time, and now they have a midlife crisis because the kids moved out, and now what? Now I'm stuck with him, you know, and he's been doing his thing, and I've been doing my thing, and we just like live in the same house. Maybe we sleep in the same bed, and maybe we don't. But we're in the same house, but we're living for our kids, and we put our kids above the mate. God didn't design that, because He didn't design the kids to train your mate. He designed you and that mate, both of you, weak and strong in different areas. Together, you're complete. You're one. And together, you're supposed to help train your kids, help them get the strengths you have, but realize you have weaknesses that the mate could speak into and could help. And the two of you are given a task by God to develop this little one. And he needs both of you. When we get this out of order and our priorities are not God's priorities, then things don't work. Do you know God's way? I don't know if you know this. Have you ever considered this? God's way always works. Did you know that? I dare you, write down Psalm 19, verses 6 through 10. I dare you. And then I double dog dare you to read it later. Psalm 19, 6 through 10. The double dog is it. Now I dare you to go read it later. Okay, you could write it down. But I want you to go read it later, okay? I only got to one verse. We were going to read the chapter. I love this verse. A false balance is abomination to the Lord. If things are out of balance, it's not God's way. God has things to be in a balance. Do you know what I wanted to talk today about was ascending a mountain? Sue came and shared this mountain thing. Was it cool? Is that, you know, did you want to ascend this mountain? Is that your goal? Is that your desire? How do we ascend a mountain? We're going to talk about that in a couple minutes, but let's read chapter 11. Let's read chapter 11. Let me challenge you with something. If you're at the point where you need to be motivated by money, if you take me up on this next week, I will give you $20. If that's what you need to be motivated. And that's okay. If that's what you need, if that's where you're at, that's fine. Okay? I'm going to challenge you this week, because if I ask you, how many of you read your Bible every day? There's some of you that do. And there's some of you that don't. What if you did two things? What if you read your Bible every day, 3 chapters a day, every day, and you read before you eat? So I know you'll read your Bible every day if you came to that decision. Job 23:12 is where I got it. Job 23:12. I'm going to read my Bible before I eat. It was not hard for me to develop the habit of reading my Bible every day once I made that decision. Okay? Now watch. And next, Job 23:12, if you want to put Matthew 4:4. Those are two verses. Of course, I keep giving you, there's hundreds of them, that just, I get a hold of one verse and it changed my life. But there's so many, but that one, those two verses, you know? Okay? I have esteemed, I have made important the words of His mouth more than my necessary food. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. God's way is perfect. Perfect. It works every time. Why then are Christians' lives not perfect? Because we're not doing His way. So what if I challenged you and said, read 3 chapters in the Word of God every day. And number 2, ask yourself one question. Before and after you read, ask yourself this one question. How does this apply to my life? To me. How does this apply to me? God, how does this apply to me? Self, how does this apply to me? If you took me up on that for 52 straight weeks, if you took me up on it for 1 week, you're going to see a difference. An unsaved man who's in my life that I'm ministering to, met him through fish, okay? God uses everything in my life to introduce me to so many people. And I meet him through fish. And this guy is not saved. This guy is going through real hard time in his life. And I got him to read 3 chapters this week. Because whatever day it is, I read that chapter in Proverbs. Today is the 11th, so I read Proverbs chapter 11. So the other day I got him to read 6, 7, and 8. I gave him a notebook. Write down anything that sticks out to you, questions. You know, he came to me that day with his notebook. All these questions, all these, what does this mean? Da, da, da. He said, when you read that, that is the Word of God. That's why you got to have people read the Word of God. Not something that calls itself the Word of God. You got to read the Word of God. Because the Word of God is living. Not just because somebody puts a stamp on it and calls it beans and you open the can and it's carrots. Don't make it beans because they put a label on it. Okay? What am I building my life on? The Word of God, not the Word of man. I had him read the Word of God. 3 chapters, not saved, book of Proverbs, write down whatever. He said as soon as I started reading it, because I was telling them how it's alive. It's not reading like a notebook or a newspaper or a magazine. He said, as soon as I started reading to it, it started. He said, it just. He I don't know what words he used, but it's like it became alive. It was like it was talking to me. He was captured. It. I wish you would take me up on the challenge to read your Bible every day, 3 chapters a day before you eat, and ask those questions twice. How does this apply to me? You okay, buddy? Okay? All right. Let's just read Proverbs 11, and then I want to go through something real quick with you. A false balance is abomination to the Lord when our life's out of balance. But a just weight or a true weight is His delight. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. The integrity of the upright, the integrity, honest above board. The integrity of the upright shall guide them. But the perverseness of transgressors, somebody who goes beyond God's limits, shall destroy them. Riches profit not in the day of wrath. You're standing before God. It don't matter how much money you have, Donald Trump. Do you understand? Bill Gates. But righteousness delivereth from death. The righteousness of the perfect or the mature Christian shall direct his way. But the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright shall deliver them. But transgressors, ones that go beyond the limit, shall be taken in their own naughtiness. When a wicked man dieth, his expectation shall perish. I have all these desires and expectation. Daddy put his foot on it, so boy put his foot on it. But you know what? Those expectations, those desires are not met. You can dream all you want. But if you dream in God, if you're following God and you're following that dream, then those dreams can get realized. Right, Judy? Like Christian Video? Right, Roxanne? Like Resale Shop? Right, Glenn? Like just being able to help people all the time and not have to worry about finances so much? I didn't make this up. I'm just reading it. Verse 7. And the hope of unjust men perishes. The righteous is delivered out of trouble. How simple. The righteous is delivered out of trouble. Harvey, I'm not righteous. Neither am I. On my own. Jesus took what I deserve, my perverseness, my wickedness, my sin. And then He gave me His righteousness. So in the sight of God, I'm righteous. As I make choices to do righteous things, God calls me righteous. Do you understand? Do you understand? It's doing what's right according to God. The righteous is delivered out of trouble. We're still going to have troubles, but we're going to get delivered. And the wicked cometh in his stead. That means people that are doing wickedly, they're going to get in trouble, or they're going to come right along in it, and everything's going to fall in on them. The rug, the floor's going to be pulled out on them because they're not following God in His perfect way. Their life's out of balance. They're making other choices. and hypocrite, one who says and does not. And hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor or people in his life that are close by. Please hear this. Gossip, backbiting, talking about other people. It is completely wicked and ungodly. It does not help anybody. When you're having a bad day, do you want me, and you tell me, do you want me to go around telling everybody about it? I tell Father about it because He could do something about it. Lord, would You deal with Wayne? I don't know what else to do with him. Would You? He just, Lord, this is a job for Jesus. Wayne doesn't need me going around telling everybody about it. It's not going to help. Gossip, backbiting, all that is when you're talking to somebody that's neither the cause nor the solution to the problem. Why do we talk about people? God, identify that root. Because I don't want that living in me. An hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor. But through knowledge shall the just, or the person that's been justified through the blood of Jesus, be delivered. When it goeth well with the righteous, everybody's happy. The city rejoiceth. But when the wicked perish, there is shouting. There is shouting. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted. But it is overthrown. The city is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. He that is void of wisdom, he that lacks wisdom, despises his neighbor or the people that are close to him. But a man of understanding holdeth his peace. There's people around me that do stuff. I want to say something. But God's taught me, keep my mouth shut. If I'm going to talk, talk to God. The people aren't going to be able to do anything about it. If we need to vent, vent to God. If you need to vent, and vent to God isn't enough, call my wife or me. Vent to us. Okay? But after you get through venting, see if there's a clue here. God had to help me with this. We have, look at Nate. We have one mouth and we have two ears. I wonder if God gave us a clue of which one we ought to do more. A talebearer or a gossiper revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Where no counsel is, verse 14 is a key verse, where no counsel is, the people fall. You see, just because you go to people and ask them for counsel, but if you don't listen, every time they go to talk, you go, no, but. Counsel means you heed it. Counsel means when they talk, you keep your mouth shut and think, well, I was thinking this, but let me consider what they said. Now, let's see. Here's what I was thinking, and here's what they're saying. Which one is God? Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. He that is surety, or how would you say that? Cosign. Okay? He that cosigns for a stranger shall smart for it. That doesn't mean he's smart. What it means is it's going to hurt you. It's going to bite you. Every time I read that verse or something like that, it reminds me of when I was a teenager. And I met this guy. I was 16 years old. Of course, I knew everything. I could run the world. Why didn't they just give me the control? And so I had this other guy that was like 18, 20 years old. And I thought he was cool. We hung out. And he wanted to buy a car from whoever. And I said, oh, he's good for it. I'll back him up. As soon as he bought the car, he skipped town. I never saw him again in my life. Who had to pay the bill? because I opened my big mouth and said, I'll co-sign, I'll be his surety, the one who stands sure for his debt. It says, he that is surety for a stranger, it's going to bite him. They're going to smart for it. And he that hateth suretyship is sure. I was just thinking about it because somebody needed a car, and somebody I know, or wants a car, and I wanted to help them get a car, but God was saying, do you remember? And I'm like, yep, don't need to go through that, yep. See, I'd rather give one away, you know what I mean? I don't want to do that thing, you know? And he said, just watch him. He said, because I was like wanting to help him get, because I really like him and I wanted to help him get what they wanted. But see, like if I go, like if you go to buy a car for me and it's a $500 car, I don't care if you pay me $499. What God's taught me is I'm not giving it to you till you give me the $500. Because if I give it to you less than that, oh, my brakes went out, oh, the alternator, oh, I had problems, oh, I got this other bill, oh, they laid me off at work. That's not my problem. I'm not giving you that until it's paid for, unless God tells me to give it. So if you ever give something to somebody, or you think you're loaning it to them, you better do it with the idea, don't loan what you can't afford to give away. Because you give something to somebody, the Word says, give and don't expect it back. Phew. I love Proverbs. A gracious woman retaineth honor, and strong men retain riches, or they keep their honor, or keep their riches. The merciful man doeth good to his own soul. When you're merciful to other people, you're actually doing good to yourself. Because you receive mercy because you've planted it. You understand? Mercy is like a seed. You plant mercy in somebody else, you receive a good crop. But he that is cruel, mean, hateful, angry, yelling, he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh. The wicked worketh a deceitful work. See, people tell, I just had somebody tell me something recently, but they weren't telling me the whole truth. When I got the other person who was part of the situation and they started speaking, it was bearing witness. When the person was telling me stuff, something inside was telling me everything they're saying is not true. And then when I talked to the other person, and they started talking, the things they were saying, God was bearing witness. This is true. The wicked worketh a deceitful work. See, we all want to paint ourselves good. We all want to paint ourselves. We all want everybody, I only want you to see this about me. Aren't I wonderful? Don't you think I'm a good person? I've got a good heart. We all want everybody to think good about us. So we don't always tell the whole truth. We deceive, only telling part of the truth. But to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. As righteousness tendeth to life, so he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death. They that are of a froward heart are abomination to the Lord. Froward. How would I say another word for that? Willful, obstinate, self-willed heart are abomination to the Lord. But such as are upright in their way are His delight. Have you ever noticed when you do right, you can look somebody in the eye? But if you've lied or not done right, and your dad says, Shayla, and you find yourself not being able to look them in the eye, have you ever noticed that? That's what we do. I like to live so I can look God eyeball to eyeball. I hired a guy one time. He said, I worked for this other company for a year and a half. You don't need to train me. I said, I don't want you doing work like them. He went with me and said, wow, your work is night and day different. I trained him my way. I was with him. He worked perfect. He was a hard worker. As soon as I put him out on his own, things just didn't go right. He must have missed, I think it was 12 days of work in 5 months. 12 days that I gave him off, besides many more days that he just took off that I didn't give him off. Okay? He would go to my customer and he would say, "Yeah, I know that Bill says this, but if you tell me you don't want it done now and let me come back later, I can do it for half." And he would come back later and do my job that I had booked. He would use my truck, my materials, my equipment, and take my customer and take all the money. And he would call me and say, "Oh, they said they don't want it done." I never had that happen so many times. I mean, and I kept giving him the benefit of the doubt. And he kept robbing me. And he kept lying. And finally, I fired him after 5 months. Over the next year, I had to go back and strip and redo 25 of the tubs he did. Had all these people mad and upset. I had worked for two guys and I only had me, and I was very frustrated. Other company owners that I would talk to, they say, "How you doing?" I said, I'm having this hard time because of this guy. And they said, "Why don't you close your business and open it a minute later under the name of A. Tub Glaze, and or just change your name. Just add a letter. Go register your name different. And then you don't have to stand behind any of that." And I said, "I can't look God eyeball to eyeball and live like that. I would lose all my peace. I would lose all my joy. I would lose presence. Why would I do that?" Over 25 tubs, over $12,000. Why would I do that? What does it cost for you to lose your peace and your joy in the presence of God? What do you sell it for? Verse 21. "Though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished, but the seed of the righteous shall be delivered." Look at verse 21. "Though hand join in hand." But I prayed and I asked God. God isn't tricked. If a wicked person, if somebody does something wickedly, they premeditate it, they will not go unpunished. "Though hand join in hand." I beg you, God, I'm praying. Why isn't He answering me? Because God knows the whole truth. God is a just God and does everything right. He's not tricked. Verse 22. "As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout." Imagine, you take a beautiful piece of gold and stick it in a, you know, what you people that have all those little things in your face or ears or whatever. Take one of those beautiful ones and stick it in the nose of a pig. That's what God says. "As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman or a beautiful woman that is without discretion." You might be beautiful, you don't have discretion. It's like putting something pretty in the nose of a pig. It don't fit. It don't look good. It's going in the mud. How would you describe discretion, Wayne? Wisdom in choices. Okay. Verse 20, whatever. 3. "The desire of the righteous is only good." That means somebody that's after God. "But the expectation of the wicked is wrath." They know what they're getting. "There is that scattereth." See, you don't have to get that though. Don't you understand? Even if you're making wrong choices and stuff, you can stop at any time. I saw a bumper sticker say, "God allows for U-turns." It's called repentance. All you got to do is tell God, Listen, this will help you even if you're walking after God. Listen to what I'm going to say, okay? God, this is where I'm at. This is the truth of where I'm at. Wherever you are, whatever is going on in your life, whatever the situation, God, this is where I'm at, but I don't want to be here. I don't want my heart hating this person. I don't want my heart being selfish. I don't want to, whatever. This is where I'm at. I'm angry. I'm selfish. I'm proud. Whatever it is, God, this is where I'm at. But I don't want to be here. I need You, Jesus, to come and change me. I can't do it. It's not You trying to be better. It's You admitting where you're at and then depending on God and saying, God, I need You. I can't handle this at all. Do you know something He has me say to people almost every single day on the phone? I minister to so many people. And one of the things He has me say almost all the time is, do you know He didn't design you to carry it? He designed you to be carried. Remember? Our Father, which art in heaven. He just wants you to give it to Him. And He says, Nate, thank you so much. I was just waiting for you to hand it to me. He said, now, would you, you're my son, would you let me carry you next to my heart? I'll carry you through this. See, you're trying, when you try to do it, when you feel burden and pressure, it's because you're trying to do it. Don't you understand that it is impossible to live the Christian life, comma, without Jesus? Because He's got to do it in you. You can't do it for Him. If you even think you did it for Him, you walk around like a stuffed peacock, crowing, look at me! I'm better. That's why we judge. I'm better. I do better than you. Anybody getting this? It is so simple. God, I can't. But You can. Would You do it for me? He said, I was just waiting. I was just waiting. I always accepted the invitation. Just give it to me. But it didn't go the way I wanted. Did You give Him time? Because that's what He says. You got to let me do it in my way and in my time. That's what we tell our kids, right? See, they want instant right now. They think we're Burger King or something, you know? You're going to give it to me my way, right? Not. I'm going to do what's best for you in the long run, no matter your response. But it's going to cost me laying my life down. But it's because I choose to love You. Right? Right? He didn't design you to carry it, whatever it is, your bills, your needs, your hurts, your pain, your fears. You say what? Your baby. God, I can't do it. And He's like, but I can. And I'll carry you through it because I want to develop my life, my character, Christ-likeness in you. I want you to be a little Christian. Not wear a little name tag that I'm a Christian because I go to a church because I know about Jesus. So you're an encyclopedia. How does that help? You have knowledge. Wisdom is the application of knowledge. I want to live it out. I want to live Christ. Right? Verse 24. There is that scattereth. I'm not even going to... Okay, good. Thank You, Lord. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth. And there is that withholdeth more than is meat, but it tendeth to poverty. I'd love to tell you what that is. God told me not to tell you. Verse 25. The liberal soul shall be made fat. The liberal means a free soul. Not liberals like in the newspaper. Not those kind of liberals. Liberal meaning free. The free soul shall be made fat. Remember? And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free or liberal. And he that watereth shall be watered also himself. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him. But blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth corn. He that diligently seeketh good procureth or receives favor. But he that seeks mischief mischief is going to come upon him. Oh, let's just turn over those trash cans. Let's throw eggs big orange things, pumpkins at mailboxes. Isn't that funny? And then we wonder why our life is hard. Because we're seeking mischief, it's going to come upon us. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. He that troubleth his own house, they shall inherit the wind. That means they end up with nothing. And the fool shall be servant to the wise of heart. The fruit of the righteous, or the proof that someone is righteous, is a tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise. Behold, the righteous shall be recompensed in the earth, much more the wicked and the sinner. Real quick, give you seven quick words on ascending a mountain. How does one ascend a mountain? Did you want to ascend this mountain that Sue talked about? Did you just want to be down here as somebody who has an interest to draw close to God and you just want to stay down here? Or would you like to be, you just want to stay at the part where you just get saved and you're just like barely saved and that's it? Or did you want to live at the place where you're growing, where but you're living at a place of kind of like a just everything's about you and you want to have a bless me mentality, always bless me, bless me, bless me. It's all about you. I mean, all of these are good, but it's like I'm trying to help you understand. There's better, 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 better. Okay. Okay, here we go. You ready? Or you want to get that place of desire for intimacy, close relationship with God. Or do you want to get up to the part where you actually so much die to yourself that God is actually God Himself? God, I just get so excited about this. God Himself is like living inside of you. God! Because the only way that can happen, though, is you got to make the choice. You want to get to that place where you're not going to live anymore. It's not your life. Because if it's your life, He'll come and He'll bless you, He'll help you. He'll do all these things, but there's more. Do you want to live in the glory of God or experience the glory of God living in and flowing? And I mean, I'm talking about living in it, not visiting it. You want to reach the peak God has for you? You ready? So how does one ascend a mountain? How does one get to the top? You ready? Number one, before I answer anything, how would you tell me? How does one ascend a mountain? Sorry? Gather tools. What? What? Wiggle. It's not on my list. I can't find wiggle. Oh, weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. That's what I know. Wiggle like a worm. Like, if I have to, I'm just going to... Okay. I got you. I think first you have to have resolve. Okay. That's good. That's number two. Okay. But that's real good. What else? How do you get to the top? How do you ascend a mountain? How do you ascend a mountain? How do you climb? How would you climb a mountain? I met Sue in Arizona. I met Sue at Arizona, and there where we met was called 35th Ave and Camelback. You could still go there. Those are two roads. Camelback is called Camelback because at the end of the road is Camelback Mountain. And if you are off in the distance, you look at it, it looks like a camel with a hump. It's called Camelback Mountain. We went and climbed that mountain. How do you climb a mountain? One step at a time. That's real good. That's the same way you eat an elephant. What else? How do you climb a mountain? No, serious. That's how you eat one. Go ahead. Right? Right. That's a step on it. Okay, good. What else? Okay, you ready? You ready? All of y'all are saying good stuff. You ready? Let's do it in order. You ready? How about number one? You got to have a desire. See, if you don't even have a desire to get where God wants you to be, if you don't even have a desire to climb a mountain, I went with that group of college kids over to Wisconsin, and we were walking. They said, let's go for a walk. We're walking along a train track, and all of a sudden, the head one darts off in the bushes. So all of us, like little lemmings, we walk off in the bushes because that's what we're supposed to do, follow the leader, right? So we're following them. All of a sudden, there's this mountain going straight up just about. And they're like, oh! And he says, let's climb the mountain. And I'm like, no, let's don't. But it's like nobody was listening to me. And they were all like college kids, and they all thought that was cool, right? That's cool, right? Let's go climb the mountain. So they're all scampering up the mountain. I'm the slowest one getting up that mountain. They were going up the mountain, coming back down, talking to me, running back up the mountain, coming back down while I'm still climbing. And I'm thinking, I could get hurt here. And these kids are just acting like little ants running up and down the mountain. Okay? Well, we got to a place where there was this hole, these rocks, where a hole, like a little room. And they were like, let's go up in there. And I'm like, I'm looking down and you could get killed. And we didn't have any equipment. And they want to go up. All of them except me went up in that hole. In just a few minutes, while they were climbing up, I saw people coming up the face of the mountain with and the ropes. And these kids, without equipment, were going over this place. I am not kidding you. If one of them would have slipped, it would have been death. Instant death. I'm sorry. My mom didn't raise any fools that went to Wisconsin. Okay? I'm not going up in that place. How do you ascend a mountain? Number one, you got to have a desire. I had no desire to go there. Come on, Brother Harvey, we really want you here. And I'm like, good, you take me there in your heart. Because I'm not going there in my body. It's that simple. I have no desire. Do you have desire? Do you have desire? How are you going to climb a mountain without desire? God, give me your desire. God, increase my desire, my hunger, my thirst. God gives you passion. You okay? Because I believe passion comes from God and whatever God's designed you to be. Like he has a passion to do a heating, cooling, whatever company. I have no desire for that. I have no passion for that. You know? I have people say to me, you seem to love tubs. And I said, I do. I don't know why, but I love tubs. I said, that's what I'm supposed to do. But when I was a toolmaker, I loved being a toolmaker. When I drove 18-wheeler, I loved driving 18-wheeler. And then it gets to a place where it's like, I don't want to do this no more. The desire was gone because God was moving me. Number one, how do you ascend the mountain? You got to have a desire. Number two, you got to make a decision. I am going to climb the mountain. You say, see, Sitting there every week, are you hearing me? For your life. This is for your life. Sitting here and saying, I want this, doesn't get you there. That's a desire. Now we got to make a decision. I'm going there. Period. As they used to say, come hell or high water. I'm getting there. It's not an option. That's where I'm going. Thank you, Jesus. Number three, identify the obstacles seen. What obstacles are going to keep you from getting there? What obstacles are going to keep you from getting there? What do you see? What right now do you know that's going to keep you from getting there? Number four, you need to plan your route or plan your course. How can I get there? What is a practical, how do I get to the next one? I was talking to that unsaved young man this week, and I said to him, I said, he and this girl came in our life, we're talking to them, they experienced the life and the presence of God, and they're like licking their lips, oh, this is awesome, this is what I want, and I said, let me give you a thought. I said, when I got in church, I said, there are people that if they had to wear clothes based on their maturity, as a Christian, it's okay. 18, 21 years, I'll fix it. Okay? If they had to wear clothes based on their maturity in Christ, I said many people in church today would be wearing diapers. Immature, self-focused babies. And I said, you get to choose how fast you're going to grow in God. And how quick you get there is based on your choices. And I said, do you like everything I'm saying right now? And they're going, And I said, but see, like they're not here today. And I said, but what about when I, because I'm talking about the love of God and how God forgives sin and da 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 da. Oh, they love that. I said, but what about if I touch something that you don't want to change? What about if God says something or deals with you about something you don't want to talk about or deal with? Or something you've got an opinion different than God? I said, now where are you going to go? I'm going to say this again, just because I feel like I'm supposed to. This is the Word of God. This is the Word of God. We need to read the Word of God and do whatever God says to do. It's that simple. Okay. I feel better now. Okay. So, number one, how do we ascend a mountain? Desire. Number two, decision. I was just showing it to you since you're not writing down. Number three, identify the obstacles seen. What obstacles? What do you think could get in your way? Number four, plan your route or course. How am I going to get up that? Can I give you three things that if you have these three things in your life, I promise you, you'll never fail. If you don't, I mean, ultimately, if you don't have these three things, I don't know how you can succeed. You want to know what those three things are? So simple. Ready? Number one is read the Word every day. Number two is pray about everything. And I mean, learn to rest in God by praying. Write that down. Learn to rest in God by praying. Learn to rest in God by praying. Bring it to Him and give it to Him until you have peace and you know and you can see Him in your mind's eye. You can see Him smiling and saying, I'll take care of it for you, son. I'll do it for you, Shayla. But Mom said, I know, but either I'm going to move on Mom's heart and show her, or I'm going to move on your heart and show you, but you'll have peace either way and you'll have joy. You understand? Quit fretting and quit nagging. Okay? So learn to rest in God by praying. What do I do with my mate? What do I do with my finances? What do I do with Brother Harvey? I mean, you see, it's like there's no job that's too big for him. Can he change even my heart? Big time. Number five. You ready? Oh, I'm sorry. Three things. I thought I told you. Read your Bible. Pray. Learn to rest in God by praying. And number three, be in church when the doors are open. It is not an option. I promise you. I'm telling you. That's all Sue and I could do. Sue had been in church, saved, serving, and then Sue went through a horrific thing in her life and all kinds of bad stuff happened in her life and she got away from God, mad at God, blaming God, accusing God. And then God brought me in her life about the time she was tired of being in the woodshed. And God got us both back into church and we're both miserable lives, wasted, no job, no, looks like no future, everything's bad, everything's bleak, had nothing. And Sue said to God, all I can do, God, is be in church and read my Bible. She said, I can't do anything else. Because she didn't know how to obey. Sue didn't know how to obey anything but what she wanted. And she said, God, all I could do is be in church and read my Bible. And I think she's an awesome woman. Number five. So, how do we ascend a mountain? Desire, decision, identify the obstacle seen, plan your route or course. Number five, forethink the obstacles unseen. Forethink. F-O-R-E-think. In other words, think ahead of time. What obstacles am I not seeing, God? I used to have... And how do you do that? Because if you can't see them, how do you do that? We just read it in chapter 11, verse 14. In the multitude of counselors, there's safety. Another place in Proverbs, it says in the multitude of counselors, there's wisdom. I don't see stuff, but Janiah will see stuff. Dudley and I are out hunting. I don't see stuff, but I say, Dudley, and he says, I see it. I don't just depend on me. Can I carry it? Thank you. Oh, okay. Think ahead. I'm going to give you a very practical thing. You ready? We used to be youth directors. We had about 50 teenagers. Do you know what it's like to take 50 teenagers bowling? Or canoeing? Or rafting? Or horseback riding? Or what's that thing where you go from house to house and you something hunt? Scavenger hunt? You know what it's like to take them to a bowling alley and one of the kids comes out and says the bathroom's filled with smoke and the only ones in there are my teenagers? It's a good thing the verse says, lay hands suddenly on no man. Because I wanted to lay hands on a few of them. And we would have all these problems every week because we would take the teenagers out every week. And they would do something that I didn't think was, you know, I'm not doing that. Oh, have I heard that? You didn't say I couldn't. Okay, flush an M&80 down the toilet. Okay. I came back, I'm pulling my hair out. I mean, that's back when I had hair. I'm pulling my hair out. Preacher, I don't know what to do. And he said, next time that you are going to take them out somewhere, why don't you and Sue sit down? If you need help, I'll help you. And let's think about what they could do that they shouldn't do ahead of time. And then let's prepare for it so that it doesn't happen. I learned a very valuable lesson. Forethink before you do it. See, my dad, when I was growing up, he used to say, put your brain in gear before you put your mouth in motion. That's because back then, my mouth was in motion all the time. I mean, everything I thought, nobody could think around me because I was just talking all the time. Yeah. I feel much better, I confess, publicly. Do you feel better? Okay. Now, number six. I'm so glad y'all love me. Okay. What goes along with number five, forethinking the obstacles unseen? What could stop or hinder me? Make that decision now. The decision now. What could stop or hinder me? Climbing the mountain. What could stop or hinder me? And you make the decision ahead of time. What could happen? Well, what if my mate doesn't go there? Oh, well, I can't go up to God without my mate. Well, what if my kids do this? What if Brother Harvey turns on me and goes out and commits adultery and runs off and he becomes like what we've seen in other preachers? What are you going to do? Throw the towel in? What if Brother Harvey gets his head cut off? What are you going to do? Oh, I need to go home now. Don't have a leader. Yeah, that's what I want. Right. Yeah. Hey, I love you so much. You want to come with me? Okay. Number six, team. This is huge. No, number five was forethink the obstacle seen, and then I put on there, what could stop or hinder me? Make that decision now. That was all under number five. I'm sorry. Number six, team. Surround yourself with others that have the same vision or goal that you do. You want to get up this? Hang around people that want to get up this. If you hang around people and all they want to do is live here, then you and it's more important for you to just to hang out with them, or you're just hanging out. So, okay. Do you understand that you can't fly with the eagles when you're hanging out with the ground birds? The turkeys? I told you about the eagle. True story. Raised in a barnyard. They found the eagle egg and they took a little eaglet and they raised him with the chickens. He never flew. He just walked around making whatever noises eagles make. And he never flew because he hung out with the ground birds. He never ascended to what he was designed to do. Do you want to ascend to what you were designed to do? Surround yourself with people that have the same vision or goal. Look at Proverbs 11:14. Okay? That's where you might want to call it brainstorming. We don't call it brainstorming, okay? It's more like spirit storming. You know, but we're doing it together because my wife can maybe hear something that I'm not hearing. Because my wife sees differently than I do. She's wired differently. She's a little bit female. So she can get stuff out different than I do. Okay? You want to be right or happy? Okay. Now, number seven. Number seven. Nope, that was six. Team. Surround yourself with others that have the same vision or goal. Listen to me. Hang out with people. Do you hear me? Hang out with people that have the same goals, vision, hunger. You ready? Write it down this way. Hush. This is six. I haven't gone to seven yet. I'm just about to say it. I keep going back. I know. Hush. Listen. Okay. Number six. God, I want to hang out with people that are like-minded, L-I-K-E dash, like-minded, like-hungered, like-hearted, like-spirited. Like-minded, hungered, hearted, spirited. This is where I want to go. What happened when my preacher didn't want to go here? Because he wanted to stay here because he was Baptist and everything's got to stay in the Baptist box. I'm sorry, I got to go after God. And if the Baptist ain't going there in any area, I'm sorry, then I guess I have to quit being a Baptist. And I love Baptist. I would almost die for Baptist. I love Baptist. They are awesome. They are so, got so much foundation. Balance. It is unreal. It's awesome. Number seven. Keep your eyes on the goal. Keep your eyes on the goal. Keep your eyes on the goal. How does one ascend a mountain? How does one get to the top? How does one reach God's destination for you? We just went over it. And I'm telling you, don't let anything keep you out of church. Don't let anything keep you from reading the Word of God. You start your day off reading the Word of God. That's why I'm going to read His Word before I put any food in my mouth. Because it will make it a priority to you. Do you understand? You don't go to church because it's exciting. You don't go to church because they got programs for your kids. You don't go to church because you like the people there. You may not like the people there. I've been in several churches. I didn't like the people there. I didn't want to be there. I told God, I don't want to be here. And He's like, this is where I want you. So you want to make your own choice or you want to follow me? Do you like hey, I'm just asking. Outside of God, do you like the result of your choices? No, I'm just asking. Let me tell you something. Don't just look at your life, but look at your kids' lives. Do you like where they're going? Do you like how they're turning out? I'm not asking you to be critical. I'm asking you to be a realist. How do we get them here? Number one, we got to be going there. We got a list. Those three things: church, Bible, prayer, resting in prayer. Those three things we got to have as a foundation. You won't make it without it. If you can't rest on each one of us, what about when they separate us? What about when they put us in concentration camps or whatever, detention camps, because we're Christians and we're not around? You're put with other people. What about if you're put in solitary? Because right now you're in solitary. Each one of you has your own life. She feels like she's in solitary. That's why she needs us to love on her, to believe in her, to encourage her. But every one of us, that's how Hannah feels all the time, like she's in solitary. It's like there's reasons. How are we going to live? I love you. Went longer today. Anybody have anything to say, comment, that needs to be said today? I'm going to tell you this again. Every journey begins with a single step. You could start over today, or just start right now from where you are. God, from this point forward, I'm going up that mountain. God, I want this in my life. God, please forgive me for whatever, and bring it under the blood of Jesus. And it's forgiven. It's washed. It's cleansed. Now, God, deal with me on why I do those things that I shouldn't be doing, or don't do the things I should. And God will begin to deal with you on those. Do you understand? Surround yourself. Don't lean on one person. Surround yourself with people that have the same desires, goals, hunger. Be careful who you listen to. That's why I don't read the newspaper. Watch TV news. You can read headlines on the internet and get the headlines, find out things are going on, pray, God, what do I need to be involved in, whatever, what do I need to pray about. But you can't do everything. You can't answer every email. You can't give to every place that calls you or wants you to do something. Everybody's got all these things. You're not called to do everything. We have got to learn to live by walking with God in the Spirit moment by moment. We got to be strong so we can help others. So that we can Jesus others. I don't know any of the people He works with. He's got to go Jesus them. I don't know all those kids in Ionia that come through your line and the people that work with you. I don't know them. You got to go Jesus them. I'm not around your mom and your extended family. You got to go Jesus them. Do you understand? I don't know all these people that are coming into the resale shop or the video place. You got to go Jesus them. God, I don't know how to do that. He says, I do. Why don't you just come? You want to come with me? That's what He said. You want to come with me? Is that what old Jonathan said? A little God picture. You want to come with me? Lord, thank You for these soldiers, for these brothers and sisters that love You, that want You. And I'm asking that You would just make this so alive in us. Teach us how to walk this out. Teach us how to depend on You so that we could just watch You show up and take care of it all and do it for us. I am so glad You want to do that. Thank You for delivering me from religion. You're awesome, Jesus. Nobody like You. Amen.